Always great to have your company for the show. We'll head back to your calls and your texts very shortly. But Paul Roos has been good enough to join us. AFL Premiership coach, superstar as a player, seven-time All-Australian, AFL Hall of Fame member, Premiership coach and former Melbourne coach. And the handover strategy is starting to be one that a few more clubs might look at as an option for them going forward, given how well it's worked, especially when Paul Roos has been the guy handing the keys over. Paul, great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, thanks, Duane. Good to talk to you. It's exciting times, isn't it? Just saying before that, would have been nice to the Doggies Demons at the MCG with a parade going on now, wouldn't it? How exciting would that have been?
Would have been fantastic. And I hope we, you know, I mean, it'd be nice if we get a situation where we do have a couple of Melbourne-based teams playing next year or the year after, so we can get to soak it up. But will we get to soak it up with 2 weeks' worth of build-up? What are your thoughts on the two-week build-up or sacking it, having a one-week build-up to the grand final or the old pre-finals bye? You got a thought on that?
Yeah, I must have. I don't understand why they've done it. Obviously, it's been an unusual year. But, yeah, I think the old system of, just go straight into the finals and then the bye to the winning team is the best system, because I think, you know, I think we want to give an advantage to the top four. And, yeah, if you look at it, semantics a bit, but certainly the Dogs have probably got a bit more of an advantage going to the grand final because they played three games in a row. And, you know, Melbourne as the top team, you know, plays one, doesn't play the next week, plays again, doesn't play the next week sort of thing. So, yeah, forgetting the build-up, I think we've always got to be mindful of, you know, what's fair for the playing teams. And I must admit, I subscribe to the old theory more so than the more recent ones of post-season bye and bye before the grand final.
So the transition plan with Melbourne, you took over, you always were looking to take over and hand the keys over to someone. I'm sure there were sceptics even within Melbourne from day one.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Glenn Bartlett yesterday. We just had a bit of a conversation. He reminded me of a question that he said to me when we'd agreed. He said, "Roosie, what happens if we're going really well in year three and we've appointed a senior coach for the following year and you want to stay on?" I said, "Mate, don't worry about it. It'll work out." So, yeah, I mean, even internally, I'm sure, you know, if Peter Jackson and I sat down and he, you know, potentially explained some of the conversation he may have had, I'm sure there would have been some sceptics within the footy club, and I know there were sceptics externally as well. But having done it before with John Longmire and the Sydney Swans, you know, I knew the process to go through, and I knew if everyone was on board, and you know, then it could work. But if, you know, if you've got anyone that's not on board and uncomfortable with it, they need to speak up, and then it's probably not something for that particular club to go ahead with.
Can it be done at any club, or does it need to be a specific need? Could any club take that model now that it does seem, and it hasn't been won the premiership by Melbourne yet, but it can be called a success right now?
I think, as I said, Duane, it's got to be the whole club. I think that, you know, the biggest difference between the Sydney and the Melbourne, and if you focus on Collingwood and Hawthorn, you know, it's the senior coach that drove it really at both those organisations. You know, I sense that, you know, my time was running out at Sydney. There was family opportunities. You know, John Longmire was starting to get interviewed from other footy clubs. So I went to Andrew Island, and we'd had some conversations, Andrew Island and Richard, before. Yeah, so we all agreed that was the best thing for the club. And then we all agreed that John Longmire would take over. You know, equally at Melbourne, when Peter came and I agreed, I said, "Look, I haven't got the energy to do it for a long period of time." And he asked me about that. I said, "No, you know, but I've seen this work before. It gives stability to the club. You know, it really does. It gives stability to the players." And we've seen again what's happened at Sydney. You know, two coaches in, 20 years, and, you know, two premierships, five grand finals or whatever it is. So it absolutely works. But everyone's got to be on board, particularly the coach that's going to hand over. I think that's the key component.
Is that why the transition idea kind of hit a rocky road with Hawthorn and Alistair Clarkson, Sam Mitchell, and even at Collingwood to some extent?
Well, I think it's just a different succession plan, Duane. I don't want to be critical of other footy clubs, but what I'm saying is, you know, me as the senior coach drove it at Sydney and at Melbourne. Clearly, yeah, and listening to Mick was keen to continue, and we know Clarko was keen to continue. So it's just a different circumstance. So I don't think you can compare them. You know, I think if you're asking me the question, can it work? Yeah, it can work if everyone's on board, if the senior coach is really behind it, the CEO, the footy manager. And then obviously the component, you know, the key component is getting the right, you know, coach to follow up.
and you've got the right coach to follow up. So Simon Goodwin, he's had a couple of rough patches as well. There was a time when a few Melbourne people had jumped right off him, and there was thoughts that at the start of this year he was under immense pressure. Why has Simon Goodwin got it so right this year, and why, and has he always had that capacity, you believe, within him to get it right? He just needed a bit of time.
Yeah, look, I mean, he was impressive when we spoke to him, had all the right sort of fundamentals. And I think, you know, year one and two after he took over, you know, it was that incline. You know, the prelim final in 2018, and I remember working for Fox, Dwayne, and I think I picked Richmond and Melbourne to play off in the 2019 grand final. But not everything goes to plan. And, you know, if you look at the injuries they had, limited preseason, you and I know the health of the team is still underrated. Not only the health of the team during the season, it's the ability to prepare your team, you know, for battle. You know, everyone having a preseason, and I think they just had 2 years, and I'm sure Goody learned a lot during that 2 years about game plan and relationships and who assistant coach he wanted and how much leeway he could give to other people. And, you know, we're all learning on the job sort of thing. So I think, you know, this is the team, you know, I knew we'd see, and we saw it in 2018 and 2017, and, you know, I thought we'd see it in 2019. But due to circumstances and health's massive. You know, look at the team now. They're both teams going the game. Are really healthy this weekend. Their good players are, you know, fit and up and about. And I think that's the key to success when you get to that level.
Where do you see game style at now, Roosy? You're still in the game. I know you're still watching a lot of footy and you're still talking to a lot of organisations within and without football, which has been great for you to do those kind of things for big business as well, which is fantastic for all those that have tapped into your brain. Melbourne kind of started their player rebuild, if you like, defence first. They went for May, went for Lever, used early draft picks, and a few thought that was the wrong way to go. Where do you think the tactical movement in the game has gone?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, I think probably on the world stage, I think worldwide you need a good defence. You know, NBA, NFL, soccer. But having said that, your defence allows you to score in the AFL. So if you set up really quickly, you set up really aggressively. So defence... You know, and if you've got a good offense, that sets up your defense as well. So they're hand in hand. I think contested ball is still underrated. You know, it's pretty much the only game in the world. I think ice hockey is about the only other game where it goes just contest to contest, 50-50 ball, 50-50 ball sort of thing. So most other games, you either have possession or you don't have possession. So if you look at AFL, your ability to consistently win a contest is so important. But I think it's always about balance, Dwayne. But if you get a... I always felt if you get a good defence, you can hang in games. You know, because we all know you're going to play poorly at some periods of games. And if you've got a really rock-solid defence, you know, the 7 goals that you might get kicked against you is only 3. And then when you ramp up and you don't turn the ball over and you get the ball forward and you kick some goals, instead of, you know, 2 goals, 4, you kick 4 goals, 2, you know, that turns around really, really quickly. I think if you focus too much on offence and those swings, you know, the ebbs and flows in games, yeah, you will get the 7 and 8 kicked against you, and I think that's probably the minor difference. But look, it's line ball, you know, really, because we see really good defensive teams play exciting footy and score really well.
What do you think will happen tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a great question, isn't it? I mean, it is a line ball. I mean, really, like the Dogs probably halfway through the year looked the best team in the comp, and then the wheels fell off a little bit, again, due to injuries to Treloar and Dunkley and a few others got unhealthy. But I think the 3 weeks has really helped. They've really built the Dogs over the 3 weeks, and I thought their last game against Port was exceptional. So that's the best they've played for a long period of time, which is scary for the Demons. But having said that, the Demons absolutely belted the Cats. So both teams can't complain about the form they're in going in, the health of their team. Yeah, May looks like he's playing. I think Keith's back as well for the Dogs. I always sort of talk about, Dwayne, the bottom 5 or 6 tend to determine grand finals. We know that, yeah, the Dusty Martins are going to win Norm Smith's, but the best players tend to cancel each other out. We know the Bond will have a good game, Clayton Oliver, McRae, whatever. I just feel like someone in that bottom 5 or 6 kicks 2 or 3, intercept marks, clearances, really good game, and probably if I look at that, and it's only marginal, I sort of tend to go for the Demons a little bit in that sort of bottom 6, but again, really marginal. So if you compare the two teams, honestly, it's a 50-50 bet, genuine.
Hey, before I let you go, where's Geelong at? Can I ask you that question without bloating it too much?
Yeah, it's a fascinating... Oh, I think they've done a great job, first and foremost. I think the the ability to do what Scotty's done and Dangerfield and Selwood in particular. So I think any criticism is unwarranted for a start. So I would say, like, any team would want to get into the top four consistently and any team would want to put themselves in. So let's put that on the table first and foremost. I'm a massive supporter of what they've done as a footy club and I think their recruiting's been really good. I think it's more just strategy now, Dwayne. It's probably more for them to sit down and say, look, can we get to where we absolutely want to get to? And I suspect they can if they inject some young players, you know, which they do have, and maybe a few young draft picks and a few 21, 22-year-olds. So, look, we're not... I don't think they're far away, but it's probably just a few more younger players, quicker players, players that can, you know, really run like a Langdon type on the wing that can run up and down. You know, the Scully type that runs up and down, Kelly type that runs up and down. I probably just think they need to be able to cover the ground better through that middle of the ground, midfield, inside and outside mids, and that's probably the area they need to focus on.
Cliff coming, though?
Well, again, it depends, Dwayne, what they do, doesn't it? You know, we've sort of said that a lot. We said that with Sydney Swans, and the Swans have restocked really quickly. It's just so hard to tell, given the free agency model now. I think things have changed dramatically not away from draft, but the free agency model's changed things dramatically. Because you don't have to give something up to get something normally. So that's changed the landscape. I suspect there's going to be a lot of really good conversation internally. But I wouldn't, to use a Dennis Pagan, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think they just need to rejig. If they can get some real runners in their midfield, I think they can bounce back relatively quickly. But it's very hard to win a premiership if you can't run. You know, and I say that respectfully to Geelong, because they're a conservative ball movement team. They protect their defence really well, and their game plan's exceptional for a team that's not a great running team. But what we saw in the last month, any time the ball gets outside and any time there's any speed on the ball, they really, really struggle to cover the ground. So, yeah, I think there's a real need to inject some real running capacity into the midfield. And if they're able to do that, I think they're in good shape.
And another quick one, another thing that you touched that's turned to gold. There was a lot of resistance to academies, but it seems the way of the future.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I was really fortunate to be with Chris Smith, who's done an amazing job. Smithy runs the Swans Academy, and Smithy and I started it. And it was just a pleasure to be involved and to do that and to see the way, you know, again, the Swans with Heaney and Mills and Blakey and Campbell and Goulden and the likes. It, yeah, it really is. I think... Yeah, if we can develop our junior talent through academies, then the quality of football is going to improve as a result. And that can only be a good thing, really, can't it?
Well, it just seems like the players know what John Longmire wants, and they know the Swans system 3 years out.
Yeah, look, I was having a conversation with another association, a different sport. I won't say what it was, and I basically said that. I said, look, the ability of Sydney to train their kids to play, you know, our pre-seasons when I was coaching at the academy were AFL pre-seasons. You know, the game style we implemented at our under-17, under-18 carnival versus GWS Giants was AFL game style. It's a significant advantage. I remember talking to John Blakey before I took the Melbourne job, I think it was, and I said, mate, how are the Swans recruits this year? He said, they're so far advanced than any other players we get in from... Yeah, any other teams. And it's right, because if you're able to teach your players how to play AFL football at a really young age, that doesn't guarantee they're going to be... So there's obviously a skill component, a talent component, but you're absolutely right. The ability to do that, and we've seen how quickly those players adapt once they get into the senior side.
Great to have you, Roosey. Just a really, really quick one. You still helping at North next year?
At the moment, we're just getting through a couple of hirings. So, I've really enjoyed the time. I suspect I'll sit down with Benny, CEO, shortly and have a discussion around that. But really pleased with where the club's going. David's done a great job, got some good people there. So it's been a really enjoyable year to be back involved in footy.
Love talking to you, Roosey. I miss you at Fox Footy, but good health to you, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, always good, mate. Always good to catch up. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Paul Roos, superstar as a player, premiership coach, and helping another couple of clubs on the way through now, post his own coaching career, to get it right as well.